Welcome again to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. We've got two games to get through this week, but we have got something new to talk about. Goals, and goals scored by Ipswich Town as well. The Blackburn game might have been a bit more of the same, but Ipswich finally found the back of the net when Burton visited Portman Road on Tuesday night. Stuart Watson, our chief football writer, joins me this week to talk all things Ipswich and whether Tuesday's game could be Town's turning point this season. But we'll start with Blackburn, which doesn't sound like it was all bad, Stuart.
No, it certainly wasn't. I think I said in isolation it was a performance and an away point that, if you were looking at it, as I say, in isolation, wasn't too bad. They created a lot more chances than they had in previous games, a game they probably should have won, to be honest. But I think as part of the bigger picture, it just was a continuation of the, you keep using the phrase, binary code in my copy. It's just that, you know, the nil-nils and the 1-0s, and it was an uninspiring scoreline for those watching from afar, but those that were at the game would have seen a few positives in the play. I did think it was a bit of a missed opportunity, because I thought Blackburn were as poor a team as I've seen all season. They had a few injuries, their back four in particular was fairly disrupted, so it was a hard one to call in terms of reflecting on it in Monday's paper, because it was a better performance but a missed opportunity. But I saw enough positive signs going into Tuesday night's game, and of course they got the win in midweek.
Obviously, sticking with Blackburn for a moment, everyone was waxing lyrical about Adam Webster after that game. Did he really start showing some of the class that we all know he's really capable of, and why Mick feels he'll be a Premier League defender in the future?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Webster was worth the 500 mile round trip alone for me. He was outstanding, and I thought I made a comparison with John Stones in the paper, which seems excessive, but if you remember, John Stones sort of came through and, you know, at Barnsley in the Championship, and if Adam Webster can continue sort of blossoming the way he is, I could see him having a similar sort of stratospheric rise, because ball playing centre backs are very in vogue these days. Everybody's looking for one, that they're pretty rare and to find, and he defended brilliantly. I think we have to say that first and foremost. He's big, he's strong, he's quick, he reads the game. You know, he's quite happy putting his head in dangerous areas and making blocks and doing all the ugly stuff, but on the ball, he's just provides a bit more calmness. No disrespect to Christoph Berra and Tommy Smith and others, but they haven't quite got that same sort of subtlety to their players. Adam, he'll take a touch in a tight area. He can spray a 50-yard pass. He's quite happy to run out from the back and take a couple of men on. I thought he was excellent, and it was a real shame that header of his was saved in the first half, because it was a performance that deserved a winning goal.
And that running out from the back, that ability to maybe pick a pass that one of the other central defenders might not have, or take a touch in a tight spot, as you say, what does that bring to Ipswich's newfound attempts to try and play the ball a bit more rather than going front to back in one fell swoop?
Yeah, it just adds another dimension to their play, doesn't it? So there'll be times, and he himself has admitted that you know, he has to pick and choose when he does it. There'll be games where it's you know, he's able to, and games where he's not. But yes, just another string to Ipswich's bow. We didn't see it as much on Tuesday night in the home game, because it wasn't a game that was really suited to it. But he's a really grounded lad as well. We've interviewed him a few times, and I'm not, you know, I don't think that the praise and Mick saying he's a Premier League player in waiting will go to his head too much. So yeah, exciting to see what Adam can do over the course of the season.
Is there a little bit of a danger with him that he could turn into another Tyrone Mings in a way, where he's brought in, has a really great first season with Ipswich, and then is suddenly out of the door next summer after only one term with the Blues?
Well, that's always the fear, isn't it? Enjoy them while you can. When you get someone that's, I think you can tell quite early with a player when, you know, 10 or so games in, you think, wow, there's potential here. I guess if Ipswich are still sort of in a similar position, sort of treading water in the Championship in another couple of years' time, he may well be another one that gets sold off for a bit of cash. But let's enjoy him while we can at the moment, and see where he goes from here.
And we all enjoyed finally being able to see a scoreline which had goals, next to Ipswich Town's name. That happened at home to Burton on Tuesday night. Not only were there goals, it was a win, of course, for Ipswich. And Freddie Sears, who's not scored for more than a year now, before then, managed to get on the score sheet along with the captain, Luke Chambers, as well. What was the atmosphere like in Portman Road on Tuesday night when it finally looked like Ipswich were going to end that run of unwelcome statistics?
I think the feeling overwhelmingly was one of relief, I would say, especially after Freddie got his goal late on. Going into the game, sense of trepidation, I guess, a lot of apathy, a small crowd. Officially it was just over 15, but of course that takes into account season ticket holders regardless of whether they turn up. Speaking to a lot of people, I think there was quite a few season ticket holders that gave it a swerve. If they had a distance to travel, they tried to pass tickets on to their mates, who said no thank you very much, even when they were being offered up for nothing. That was the sense of feeling going into the game, because of the lack of goals, because of the lack of entertainment value. How far will Tuesday night go to changing that? Well it's a start. Certainly a very entertaining game. I don't think anyone will have come away from the match feeling like they didn't get value for money in terms of the spectacle. Burton certainly contributed to that. I was very impressed with Burton. They gave it a really good goal, something like 16 shots on goal, 12 corners. I see their defender Ben Turner has come out today and said that they were the better team and Ipswich know it. I think that might be pushing it a little, but they certainly contributed to the game. But Ipswich were the more clinical and got the goals and got the win. But I don't think we should suddenly be saying everything in the garden's rosy and everything's fixed just because Burton Albion have beaten 2-0 at home. But it's a start, and we shouldn't, you know, we're quick to get down on Ipswich when things aren't going well. So they deserve praise on Tuesday. Mick deserves praise for changing his team, sticking with two up top. He's brought Bishop and Bruin, and for the first time, his comments afterwards were, "If I picked that team, I believed we would beat them if we go toe to toe." And that's what fans want to hear from Mick. When they're playing a so-called lesser team at home, be a little bit bolder with your selection. And he did that on Tuesday. And two teams went toe-to-toe and Ipswich came out on top. So happy days.
With his team selection sort of on Tuesday night and sort of some of the things I think he said going into the Newcastle game this weekend, he sounds like he's possibly started to look at not playing Skews and Douglas together all the time. They didn't both play on Tuesday. It doesn't look like they'll both play at Newcastle. Is he maybe listening to some of the fans' frustrations and trying to take that on board in a very Mick McCarthy way? Or is it he's a victim of circumstance in sort of little niggles and the run of matches that they've got?
I think very much the latter. The day Mick McCarthy does anything based on populist opinion or noises from the fans, I don't think that day's going to come. I think Douglas and Skews will be in the team at Newcastle. There's no doubt about that. Mick's already indicated as much. Douglas probably would have played on Tuesday night if he hadn't had a little niggle. Mick sort of said that it was a tactical switch and he wanted to go for it. And we have to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But Saturday at Newcastle, Douglas will be back in the team, and I think that's the right thing to do. And I think most, you know, you're going to Newcastle as major underdogs, as virtually everyone in this division will do, and fans are, you know, I think most sensible fans realise that sometimes you do have to go and try and squeeze the life out of an away game like at St James's Park. But it's the home games where it's really niggled fans, where they've played the likes of Burton at home, and it's been the Brew, Skews, Douglas three in the middle of the park. Ipswich looked a lot more open, I have to say, on Tuesday night, and Burton carved through them at times, and maybe that was an eye opener to what Douglas brings to the team that perhaps you know, not everybody appreciates at times, gives them that bit of stability. But it's just picking and choosing certain games, certain opposition, as and when you're a little bit more defence minded and a little bit more attack minded, and that they were more open on Tuesday and it paid off, and I think they'll need to be a lot more solid on Saturday, and the team will reflect that.
When they played Burton on Tuesday, did the team start looking more confident, more cohesive, more like winners because of things going right for them? Or was it sort of they're doing the same things they've always done, they look much of the same, it was just that it the luck went their way this time.
Yeah, I guess that there was an element of that. The opening goal was very much against the run of play. That was their first real attack. Burton had started the game well, so you never know if the first goal had gone in against them, the mood could have changed, shoulders could have slumped. That's football, isn't it? I think did they look a whole lot more confident? Did they do a whole lot different to what they have been? The answer probably is not. It's really difficult when you look back through sort of analysing Ipswich's games. There have not been too many terrible performances. Huddersfield at home wasn't great. The second half at Brentford away wasn't great. But by and large, Ipswich are a fairly consistent team and they're very consistent at what they do. And I think that comes from Mick McCarthy's consistent demeanour off the pitch, his fairly sort of consistent approach to team selection. And Ipswich are what they are. They're a fine margins team. They're never going to thrash teams. They're never going to be thrashed as well. And I think, you know, in amongst the failure to score stats, it's kind of been overlooked that they've now kept 5 clean sheets in 7, which is a really solid platform in the Championship. A lot of teams would kill to have that sort of defensive record. So I guess we live in eternal hope that they can keep that solid platform, and then you just get that little bit of X factor, a little bit of spark from somebody like a Johnny Williams, like a David McGoldrick coming back, maybe Teddy Bishop playing a little bit more, and they turn a few of these sort of nil nils and 1-0 defeats, just tip them the other way in the balance.
Finally, on the Burton game, great for Freddie Sears to get that goal finally. He's got that monkey off his back, and as everyone saw from the pictures, Bartosz Białkowski ran the length of the pitch to celebrate with him. So clearly it wasn't just something that Freddie would have been very happy with, but the rest of the team looked delighted for him as well.
Yeah, really popular player amongst the team, and real moment of relief all round for everyone, for Freddie. I don't have to keep going to every game and looking up how many matches it's been since he scored. It was December last year, I think, seconds into that game at Fulham. Seems like a lifetime ago now. I guess there's been mitigating circumstances as to why he's not scored not been scoring, because he has been sort of toiling out on the left wing for a lot of times. That said, he's not been playing left back. He's still been playing in a fairly offensive position, and he should have scored more goals in that time. But hopefully, you know, he's back up front now. Getting that goal will be a huge weight off his shoulders. I think the Best Sears partnership could work quite well. I've been reasonably impressed with Leon Best and the hold-up play and everything that he's brought to things. So, yeah, monkey off the back, and let's hope it sparks something going forwards.
We've got Newcastle up next, of course, and that's one of the most anticipated away games I think fans have been looking forward to a bit since the fixture calendar came out. Obviously, Town are in a little bit of a bubble at the moment in that they've got that win that they've been looking for a while. But going straight to Newcastle, who are going to be a very hard team to get any sort of positive result against, does it risk bursting that bubble, do you think?
I think they'll go there with no real pressure or expectation, really. I don't think, as long as they put on a decent show on Saturday, and it's a reasonable performance, I don't think the fact that if they get beaten on Saturday shouldn't really burst any sort of momentum that's been built from Tuesday. As I said before, most teams will be going to Newcastle as major underdogs. You look at their squad, if they don't walk this division this year, then there's something really wrong. They've got a Champions League winning manager in Rafa Benitez. I mean, you go through their squad list, just recruited really well with really good Championship players in Matt Ritchie and Dwight Gale, of course, who's banging the goals in. I still think it's absolutely mental that they were relegated from the Premier League. I think most Magpies fans will tell you that it was a fairly lacklustre relegation as well, and they've still managed to sell off players for a combined total of about 75 million, you know, in a underperforming failure of a team, and they've managed to reinvest that money really well. As I say, got some good Championship players, and for me they will go up automatically, no doubt. So Ipswich need to go there just they've kept 5 clean sheets in 7, so as you say, that maybe they might be able to hang on and nick something on the break, but we'll see. Newcastle will be favourites, but You know, Ipswich will fancy their chances after Tuesday.
A 0-0 draw, not the worst result at Newcastle, oddly enough there. Obviously, yeah, you mentioned the recruitment that Newcastle have put in over the close season in the summer. Good Championship players that they've brought in, and of course part of the Ipswich squad has already journeyed up to Newcastle on a permanent basis. Is there any chance that Town fans will see Daryl Murphy lining up against their side this weekend?
Yeah, good question. He's only had one appearance for them so far. It was a sole start in the League Cup. I believe he has picked up a bit of a calf problem while he was away with Ireland, so that's why he's not featured as much since. There was talk that he might make his return to action on Tuesday night at Barnsley. He didn't. He wasn't in the squad then. So we need to find a little bit more out about where he's at fitness-wise. But wouldn't that just be typical that he would make his first Championship appearance for them on Saturday? These sort of things sometimes seem written in the stars, don't they? But Jack Colback as well, of course, ex-Ipswich. Newcastle and Ipswich have got huge sort of crossover links historically. Of course, I'm sure there'll be plenty of songs sung about Bobby Robson, Sir Bobby, on Saturday between the two sets of fans. Got your Kieran Dyes, your Darren Ambroses, your Titus Brambles more recently, haven't you? So it's a club with a fair few links as well. And as you say, a lot of fans going up there for the weekend. I think 2,500 plus tickets sold. The fans are in the gods at St James's right at the back, but I'm sure they'll enjoy their weekend, win, lose or draw.
And obviously, as you mentioned, all those links between the two clubs generally tends to make it, when they have played each other on the rare occasions over the last few years, generally tends to make it quite a good-natured match-up, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a fair bit of affinity between the two clubs for the reasons that I suggested. So I'm sure the fans will mingle, and a few Ipswich fans will be going out. Obviously, the stadium is right bang in the middle of the city centre, so there'll be a few people going out for a night out afterwards. So I hope they have a good weekend and they get a bit of enjoyment out of it.
After Newcastle, we've got Rotherham at home and then Sheffield Wednesday, the next two matches we've got coming up. Can you see Ipswich doing reasonably well in those games? Is there a chance that if they manage to get a positive result out of the Newcastle game, they could maybe string a few good results together and just give themselves a much-needed boost going up towards Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, we keep going on about the dreadful October record, which is just a really strange one, really, isn't it? I think that was the first October win in 5 years to the day on Tuesday night. But on the flip side of that, November, strangely, has been a fantastic month since Mick McCarthy's come in. Probably no real rhyme or reason to that, but Ipswich have always led into the Christmas period really strongly under Mick, and then seemingly sort of tailed away after Christmas. So those two fixtures you mentioned there, certainly a good chance. I think Rotherham, certainly at home, is a very winnable fixture. Sheffield Wednesday haven't been as strong as people anticipated, so if they can have a really decent spell leading into Christmas, then maybe things won't be as doom and gloom as we thought. And of course, hopefully there's a bit of cash to spend in January. We've certainly been led to believe that after the sale of Murphy and having failed to make a deadline day signing, that's still in the pot. So if they can just sort of hang on in there, and the Championship is obviously a fine margins division, if they can be there or thereabouts around the playoffs come January, then who knows.
You mentioned obviously the transfer window there, looking a little bit further ahead. Do you think that Mick McCarthy and his scouting team and Marcus Evans as well will have done a bit of pre-investigatory work coming into the transfer window, so that when it opens, we know Mick McCarthy likes to get his business done as early as possible. If he is going to make signings in January, do you expect it to be more towards the beginning of the month, and that they've already identified a few people that they might try and put a bid in for?
Well, I'm sure they've done their due diligence and they've got lists. You know, having spoken to various people within the scouting team, they have various different lists of different budgets, different player positions. Getting those deals done is another question. I never think January is a particularly good or easy time to do business, especially now that there's not been an emergency loan window. There's going to be a lot of clubs sort of chomping at the bit to do deals as soon as that window reopens. I think prices get pushed up in that month. As we know, Marcus likes to get value for money on deals as well, so that might be preventative. So, yeah, it's not going to just be a case of just sort of strolling out there and signing a striker within, you know, on January the 2nd, I don't think. But I guess it depends what position Ipswich are in come the start of the January transfer window and where they're at. But certainly need another striker. Just say I've been sort of pleasantly surprised by Leon Best so far, but I think they could do with a little bit more competition up front for places, someone in that similar sort of mould. And Johnny Williams, David McGoldrick back, as the old cliche goes, would be like new signings if they can get them up to speed by then. Big if, of course. You know, I have my doubts with their injury records, whether they can be fit and firing on a regular basis. So, yeah, I guess it will be a case of assessing the picture then a couple of months to go and see what happens.
There we go then. So hopefully we're looking forward to a few more good results coming up off the back of that Burton success. But that's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. We are going to be back again next week for reaction to the Newcastle game and a preview of the Rotherham match. So thank you again to Stuart, and thanks for listening.